This shiur is dedicated to the refuah shleima of our dear friend Chaim Feigenbaum. To my dismay, Chaim once again needs great help. There's been a decline in his situation. A name was added, and his name is now Yosef Chaim Yisochar ben Chaim Mushkat. We all hope that in the schus of his tzidkis and our prayers and our Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send him a refuah shleima. So let us all redouble our efforts in davening, in learning, and in masim tovim for the benefit of Yosef Chaim Yisochar ben Chaim Mushkat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishlach lo refuah shleima min hashemayim. The topic we will be discussing this week, approaching Pesach, is the concept of Mechiras Chometz. We will not get into the details, the complex details of the various kinyanim that are instrumental in this transaction. We would rather just speak about the concept of Gemar Das and the validity of the Etzem Mechira. First of all, a very short and brief historical overview of Mechiras Chometz. Mechiras Chometz nowadays has become, one might say, almost a ritual. And most of the people in every community, I don't know what the situation in your communities in America is, but in Israel and, you know, as far as my knowledge goes, I think the same is in America. Almost all members of the community come to the Rav to sell their chametz. This is a relatively new development, not even 200 years old. Once upon a time, Mechira was a very personal issue, and it was mostly between people that had animals, and they had to feed those animals chametz, whether it was cows or sheep or goats or chicks or chickens or ducks. And most of the food these animals were fed on a steady basis was chametz, and that was a big problem on Pesach. So people used to sell the animals together with their food to a goy, and the goy used to feed the animals, and that was the primary reason for Mechiras Chometz. Another reasoning was people, Jews that had a license to be inn owners, and they had to give the goyim beer and whiskey, and so for Pesach they sold the chametz to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew, he was the one that was actually running the inn in Pesach. It is only in the past 200 years that Mechiras Chometz has become institutionalized and taken care of by the Rabbanim. Previously, each of these people that had to sell the chometz did it on a personal basis, and he sold the chometz to a goy that he was familiar with. So the first source dealing with Mechiras Chometz is actually a Tosefta Perek Beis of Masechet Psochim in Halacha Vav. And the Tosefta tells about Yisrael v'goy shohaya boim b'smina. If a Jew and a non-Jew are on a boat, on a ship, and Pesach approaches, obviously the Jew cannot do Tzreifes Chometz or Bir Chometz because he is away from home. Or, on the other hand, maybe the dilemma is because he's on a boat and they don't let you put on a fire on the boat, and therefore he is interested in selling his Chometz. So the Tosefta says the Jew could sell his Chometz to a non-Jew and then buy the Chometz back from the non-Jew right after Pesach. So it's quite obvious, the kavon of the Tosefta, that even though they know in advance that after Pesach the goy is going to sell his chometz right back to the same Jew, that does not invalidate the mechira. That is permissible. So the lesson of the Tosefta is Yisrael v'nochri shayu ba'im b'sfino v'chametz b'yad Yisrael arei ze mochre l'nochri v'notno b'matana v'chuzer v'lokeach mimeno l'achar ha-Pesach ובלבד שיתנו לו במחירה גמורה. So the Tosefta says it is permissible, he could sell the chometz to a non-Jew, but the Tosefta specifies he has to sell it במחירה גמורה. It has to be a valid mecha, a valid mechira. So what does the Tosefta mean? It has to be a valid mechira. Yachroinim explain it shouldn't be a matonah manas lahachzor, and also it should be without any tenai. That is the Beis Yosef and the Bach in the Siman Tov, Mem Ches and Shulchan Aruch Ol HaChaim, naturally Hilchas Pesach. And this halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel. Siman Tov Mem Ches deals with the Yisrael of Chometz over all of a Pesach, and in Siv Gimel it is stated that if the Jew sold his Chometz to a non-Jew or gave it as a metona to a non-Jew, in that case it is not considered Chometz Sheover Olav HaPesach. So this is the basic source of Mechilas Chometz. In the times of the Chasam Sofer, Chometz was sold still on a personal basis. How do I know that? Because in Shuvas Chasam Sofer, in Simekuf Yud Aleph, in the Chelek of Shulchan Aruch Ol HaChaim, the Chasam Sofer describes what Rabbonim should be doing in their Shabbos Gadol Drosha, and the Chasam Sofer attacks the Rabbonim that say major pilpulim and droshes dealing with the sugya of shoymishum or sort of shoymer. I have no idea why the Chasam Sofer mentions dafke the sugya of shoymishum or sort of shoymer, but the Chasam Sofer says that what they should be doing, the Rabbonim, is just teaching people what they really have to know, and halachas are going to get halacha lemaisa. And as an example, he says that Rabbonim should teach the people how to sell chometz. So it's quite obvious that in his time, people had to be taught how to sell chometz. So in the times of the Chasam Sofer, it was not a general mechira executed by the Rav, but actually a personal mechira in which each and every member of the community sold his chometz on a personal basis. The Yeshua Siakov was the great Rebbe of Lemberg, the Rav of Lemberg, one of the great Gedolim of the same generation as the Chasam Sofer, and in his Sefer Yeshua Siakov Siman Tov Mem Ches, Siv Koton Hey, he writes, Shumati, Shebeksas Kehilos, that there are some Kehilos in which there's a new minig, and the Rav buys the chumitz from the members of the community, and he sells the chumitz to the guy, and the Yeshua Siakov is very enthusiastic in supporting this minig. One generation after the Chasam Sofer and the Yeshua Siakov, this was a major controversy. The Avraham Moshe Tobas was the Rav of the Yas, and in his Sefer Shalas Chubis Oyri V'Yishis Mekuf Chofalef, he attacks this minig and he rejects it totally, arguing that it is a blatant harama, too much of a harama. It doesn't seem to be a serious transaction when the one person buys the chometz of 1,000 people and he sells it on, and the goy has no idea what and where that chometz is. So the Oyri V'Yishis rejects the minig. Rav Shlomo Kluger supported and then backtracked and was against the minig. Shoyla Meshev, Madura Beis Chelik Beis Siman Ayin Zayin deals at length with this minig, and he also has a negative opinion about it. However, from then to our days, it has become a broadly accepted minig, and I think in all kehillas, this is the way it's done. So what is the validity of this mechira? In a very general way, I would just describe the opinions pro and con, ba'ad v'neged. The Gedolim that accepted this minig and encouraged it were very concerned about the various kinyanim, because the average layman has no idea what kinyanim to use and how to actually put those kinyanim into place, and therefore Gedolim were concerned that the common mechira isn't valid. You have to be a major Talmud Chochem to know how to sell the chometz to the goy. The ones that were against this minig argued that it's a harama. It isn't serious. It is seen by the parties as some religious ceremony and not really as a kinyan, and therefore they argued that the mechira should be a more personal one and not a general one. The Bechor Shor was one of the great poskim 300 years ago, famous for his sefer on Yoredeya named Tvuas Shor. But on the back of the Tvuas Shor, there's a sefer Bechor Shor on various mesechtes, and in Psochim Daf Chof Alef, he argues that Mechilas Chometz is basically a harama. And in the opinion of the Tvuas Shor, harama isn't valid only when we're dealing with the Nisa Drabonon. When we have to get around the Nisa Dioraisa, harama would be invalid. basically argues that Tevuah Shor, Mechilas Chometz, isn't needed only Mederabonon, because the Gemara says in Psachim Dav Dalad Amid Beis Midi Uraisa Bebitul Ba'al Mesagi Mena Torah. If a person was Mevatel Chometz, he is no longer Oivirim Bal Yerov or Bal Yemutza. So anything beyond Bittul, whether it's Leifes Chometz or Mechilas Chometz, isn't needed only Mederabonon, and therefore we could rely on Harama. That is the argument of the Poroshor. And therefore, those people that sell the chometz to a non-Jew and have the non-Jew feed their chometz to their animals, that should be totally rejected, because that is dealing with an Issa D'Oraisa, the Issa HaNoah of chometz v'Pesach. Because if not for the Mechida, the Jew would be feeding his chometz to his animals and sustaining the lives of his animals, and therefore we're dealing with the D'Oraisa. Regarding a D'Oraisa, one cannot rely on Haroma, and that is the argument of the Bchor Shor. Between Gedolei Yisrael of that era, we find three different approaches. Some Gedolim totally rejected the basic assumption of the Bchor Shor, and they said, Mechiras Chometz is not a Haroma. It is a serious Mechira, which is totally valid. It should not be considered a Haroma. And therefore, it is valid even regarding the D'Oraisa. Some Gedolim argued it might be a Haroma, but one could be Soimach an Haroma even with the D'Oraisa. The third opinion is the one of the Bechor Shor. Mechiras Chometz isn't needed only with the Rabbonon, and therefore we could rely on Haroma. Some time ago, I think it was about 4 or 5 months, I think that I said a shiur on this same platform about Haroma B'dinei Torah. I'm sure that I said this year somewhere, but I could no longer remember where and when I say what, so I apologize. But I do think, whether in English or in Hebrew, I know it was printed and sent out. I gave a major discussion about Haroma and brought together many sources. We won't go over that topic today. But as I explained, there are three basic different approaches regarding this question. According to all three, we could rely on Mechiras Chometz in as much as long as the rationale for this Mechira is just we shouldn't be over on Bal Yerov or Bal Yemutza. If a person destroys some of his chometz, is mevatel the rest, and sells chometz to the goy, according to all three different approaches, one could rely on mechiras chometz. Nevertheless, some gedolim did not rely on the mechira regarding chometz gomer, and therefore many medaktikim have a minig in our days not to sell chometz gomer. As a poisek, let me say this regarding hefsed merubah: we are always makel. If it's not a hefsed merubah, if a person would come and ask me, I have a half a box of biscuits left over, or I have 2 pitot in my freezer, I would say, burn them, throw them away, be mekayem the mitzvah of bir chometz. But if a person would say, you know, I have 10 bottles of Blue Label in my cabinet, and that's worth $1,500, I would say then you could sell it to a goy. I don't want to go into the discussion whether whiskey is chometz gomer or not, but even if it is chometz gomer, regarding a hefsed merubah, we are makel in mechiras chometz. If it's not a hefsed merubah, the mechira is valid. Hasoimach al mechira, you know, is ein mas chichen oisoi, but there are medaktikim. That was the meaning of the Grom, that was the meaning of the Baruch Tam, writes in his Sefer Shalos HaTshuvos HaTeres Chachomim Simen Yud Daled, that he did not rely on Mechiras Chometz regarding Chometz Gomer. That is the opinion and the meaning of many medaktikim throughout the ages. So those are the basics regarding the Mechira. There's an interesting tshuva in Chsam Sofer, Tshuvos Yoredei Simen Shin Yud. The Chsam Sofer asks, well, we all know that the goy isn't really serious about buying the chometz. He has no need for chometz, and he does not intend to use that chometz. So how could we rely on Mechiras Chometz, bearing in mind that the goy really doesn't have any intention in buying this chometz? And the Chsam Sofer suggests Two different tzirutzim, two different approaches. Approach number one is a big tamer b'yainai. Approach number two is very, very reasonable. First of some sefer says, we don't really care whether the guy is kind of this chometz or not. Our point is that we sell, that we no longer possess this chometz. It is no longer ours. Whether he was kohenah or not, that's his business, and actually, we couldn't care less. So maybe he isn't kohenah because he has no intention of acquiring this chometz, but we, from our point of view, sold, and therefore, we no longer are responsible for this chometz. Which is a very weak argument, because in Choshev Mishpat it seems to be very clear that when one sells and the other buys, if for any reason the purchase isn't valid, then ein kinyan lachatzon, a kinyan doesn't work halfway. If for any reason the purchase isn't valid because the purchaser didn't really have proper intention, he doesn't want to buy, or maybe the kinyan was flawed, there wasn't a proper kinyan, then the money still is in the possession of the seller. That is actually a machlokes between Tosfos and the Rashbam and Bava Basra Kuf Lamed Ches Omed Aleph. In Bava Basra Kuf Lamed Ches, the Gemara deals with the situation in which the seller sells and the purchaser says, I do not want to acquire. And the Gemara says in that case, the money is hefker. Whether it's merchandise or real estate that is being sold, this whatever the object of the transaction, that is hefker. So the Rashbam explains that Pliny sold, Almoni didn't buy, and therefore it's in limbo, it's hefker. But Tosfos rejects that interpretation. Tosfos says, well, if the purchaser didn't buy, then the seller didn't sell, and the money is still in the possession of the seller. And all the Rishonim, they go along with Tosfos, and therefore what the Chasam Sofer seems to be saying, whether he buys or not, we don't really care. The ikar is we sold, that does not seem to be acceptable. I always wondered why the Chasam Sofer doesn't deal with the question of Das Acheres Makna, because when there's Das Acheres Makna, Tosfos many places in Shas say, and that is also the opinion of most other Rishonim, and we don't even need Kavonas Kinyan. In our case, the guy definitely is not opposed to being Kaina. He just has no interest in buying. So in that case, Das Acheres Makna would be sufficient to validate the Kinyan. Well, the Tosfos Choshim, twice in Choshim Mishpat, Reish Lamed Hei, and once again in Reish Ayin Hei, argues that Das Acheres Makna isn't valid by a guy, only by a Jew, because it's based on the concept of Zochon Yodom Shaloi Befonov Ve'ein Zechiyah Lenochrim. But the Chasam Sofer in Avodah Zorah Siman Daf Ayin Aleph rejects the Ksos HaChoshen, and he says it's a strange Chiddush. So the Chasam Sofer L'Shitosa should have said Das Acheres Makna in our case. However, at other opportunities, I pointed to various different passages in this form of the Chasam Sofer. In some passages, he brings the Ktzos and supports him. In other passages, he says the same Chiddush Medate Denapshei on his own. So there seem to be contradictions in the Chasam Sofer regarding the basic idea of Das Acheres Makna and whether it is valid by a non-Jew. The other explanation of the Chasam Sofer, which I think is the pashtus, is Dvorim Shebelev Loi Havi Dvorim. So even if the guy doesn't really want to buy, but he says he's buying, he signs a document, and the document deals very clearly with an acquisition, and therefore the acquisition is valid, even though he might not really have intention. Now, there is a concept in Choshev Mishpat which we define halachically as Umdene de Muchach. Dvorim shebelev lo have dvorim, aval dvorim shebelibo vebelev kol adam. If it is a clear-cut assumption, that is not considered dvorim shebelev. And in that case, have dvorim. So obviously the Chasam Sofer, even though his basic feeling is that the Goy has no interest in buying, he does not consider this assumption as Dvorim Shebelibo Vebelev Kol Adam. It is on the level of Dvorim Shebelev, and therefore Dvorim Shebelev Lo Havi Dvorim. I must voice my opinion. I do not know why the Chasam Sofer assumes that the Goy doesn't want this acquisition. I think he does. If the Goy, the purchaser, has any basic level of intelligence and decency, and we explain to him how important it is for us to sell, and we want him to buy our chametz, he also knows in advance that he is going to, you know, get benefit out of his participation in this transaction. He knows in advance he is buying Erev Pesach, and he is expected to sell it back after Pesach. And his payment, his compensation on selling back the chametz to us will be double than what he pays to buy the chametz. So why would we assume that he's not really intending to buy? If he's a decent human being, he knows what a purchase means, and why would he assume he's not up to it? Why? Befrat, especially in modern times, you know, basically most people, most transactions are based on two basic tenets. One is the seller needs money. The purchaser needs the object that he is purchasing. So that is basically what commerce is all about. The shop owner needs money, and therefore he just sells merchandise. People that come into the shop need exactly the merchandise that they are buying. But in the modern world, you know, there's a great business of commodities, and people deal with commodities. People buy oil, gold, silver, iron ore, foodstuffs, which they will never see, never hear, never smell, and never actually use. They buy and sell. And their sole intention in buying is only to sell. People buy and sell stocks. You know, in the modern world, in modern economies, that is such a basic and accepted practice. So why would Mechiras Chumetz really be any different than that? The Goy buys Chumetz Erev Pesach. He knows that in another 8 days he's going to sell it back and double his price. So why would we assume that the Goy really doesn't have any intention of buying? The fact that he does not have any intention in materializing this acquisition and eating the Chumetz does not mean that there is no intention to validate this transaction, and therefore, in my opinion, Mechiras Chumetz is a real substantial kinyan. I don't even think it's considered haroma. I think it's a valid kinyan lekol dovor, and therefore, I do not agree with the basic assumption in this tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. A year or two ago, Harav Eliashev, modern Harav Eliashev, came up with a new argument. And I think in America, in Europe, but especially in Israel, a great deal of chametz is sold by people who aren't really observant. And the reason they sell this chametz is because they have kashrus of the rabbinate. And you can't have a tudus sechshar if you don't sell your chametz. So Harav Eliashev argued, these people don't take Mechiras Chumetz seriously, and to them it is, once again, like just a religious act. They sell the Chumetz only because the Rabbanut demands that they sell the Chumetz, but they're not really serious about it. So, you know, it is interesting to note that the Chasam Sofer's argument 200 years ago from the side of the non-Jewish purchaser in our times, we have a similar argument regarding the intention and the purity of the intention of the Jewish sellers of the chametz, not the non-Jewish purchaser. So Rav Eliashiv, in order to solve this problem or this dilemma, suggested a new formulation of the shtar mechira, adding on a few stipulations. Stipulation number one: any argument regarding the validity of this document, of this shtar, should be dealt with only in a Beit Din Rabbani. Only they will have the authority to deal with any argument that might arise concerning the validity of this transaction. Stipulation number two. Both parties declare that they are aware that this is a legally binding document, and they will not be able to argue that it's a religious document that is not legally binding. Addition number three, or paragraph number three. Any party that will argue to invalidate this document takes upon himself a mutually agreed upon knas of 100,000 shekel. All these additions and stipulations are meant to give legal credence or legal substance to this document and to ensure that the seller takes it seriously and is fully aware that this is a document of transaction and not some kind of a religious ceremonial document. And this is what Rav Eliashiv publicized. His Talmud, Rav Efrati, wrote it in his Sefer, and this is a relatively new development in recent years. Now, let me just say this. Many halachic documents have evolved throughout the ages, most notably the Heter Iske. Heter Iske is 500 years old. The Chachma Sodom, 200 years ago, reformulated the Heter Iske, added on various ideas and stipulations. In our times, the Heter Iske has once again been revised, and I am not opposed to revising and formulating documents in the spirit of the times. But I was very disturbed a year ago when a Rav in one of the Choshev HaKehilas in Eretz Yisrael said, Barabbim, did anybody that sold the chumis with the old documents, even with the Eved, it's invalid, and the chumis is chumis overall of the Pesach? And I was extremely disturbed by that drosha. I think that Mechilas Chumis is totally valid, even with the old, well-known documentation, Shikra HaMechira, that we used for years and years going back in time, a very long period. I think that these new ideas substantiate the Mechira, but I think it's a Mechira Gemura as is. And in a similar vein as I argued before regarding the non-Jew, I think it is a far more powerful argument regarding the Jewish sellers. We are dealing with basically decent people, and they all know, whether it's Osem or Tanuva or any major company or the big supermarket chains, they're all Jews. And they know how important it is for observant Jews, the observance of halacha. They know that chametz that was not sold is prohibited by halacha. So why would we assume that they do not intend to sell? Basically, decent people that have basic intelligence, probably are willing to do anything and interested to do anything that is needed and required, befrat, especially in our times when customer service is such an important, one of the basics in doing business and is serving the public. So one of the arguments made by the revisionists is, those big companies that are selling chametz, do they really mean to sell? And what will they do if the goy comes along and actually wants to take advantage of his kinyan and get all that chametz? I think that is the most beautiful dream any company ever had. Because according to the Shtar Mechira, the day the goy will come along and actually want to take possession of all the chametz, he has to pay in cash, the full price. I don't think any company, any retail company, I think Walmart would be, they would give kiddush on Shabbos if a customer comes along and he offers to buy their entire inventory, paying the full sum without any hanocha, paying it up in cash, not in installments. So why would they be opposed to this mechira? They also know, being basically intelligent people, that in 200 years of Machoros Chometz, never did anybody lose out. The Goyim, the purchasers, have nothing to do with the Chometz. They have no intention. They're not interested in where the Chometz is and what the Chometz is. So why would we assume that anybody is opposed in any way to the Mechira? I think Jews, being basically intelligent, knowing Jewish history, knowing Jewish halacha, do wholeheartedly sell the Chometz with pure intentions, and I really don't see any reason to doubt the validity of the Mechira Mitzad HaMoichrim. So, you know, things could always be better. Every document could be more powerful, more precise, more explicit, but I don't think there really is halachic need for this. And the old Shitrei HaRashoah and Shitrei Mechira are definitely valid, and the Chometz should in no way be considered Chometz over Olav HaPetzach. I think that basically everybody that sells Chometz knows he's not going to be losing out. It is only about 200 years that the Chometz is sold in this manner, in this fashion, and we aren't aware of anybody losing out. We sell the Chometz before Pesach, we buy it back after Pesach. Everybody knows how important this transaction is, and therefore all the parties involved have pure intention regarding the validity of Mechira's Chometz. I had an interesting question a few years ago. Erov sold the Chometz to the Goy, but he did not give the Shitrei Mechira to the Goy, the Shitrei HaRashoah. Because Mechiras Chometz has two stages. People sign a Shtar HaRashoah with the Rav. That is actually, that document is the power of attorney. Just giving the Rav authority to sell the Chometz of the various members of the community, and they sign that document. Stage number two, document number two, is the Rav selling actually the Chometz to the non-Jew, to the Gentile. So usually when we sell the Chometz to the non-Jew, along with the Shtar Mechira, we also supply the Shitrei HaRashoah. Theoretically, the purchaser should know exactly where the Chometz is, which addresses, which houses, what part of the house. But some of those Shitrei HaRashoah were lost, and the Rav didn't give them to the non-Jew. So some Rabbanim argued it's a Dovah She'eino Mesuyim, and the Kenyan wouldn't be Chal. And I wrote a lengthy tshuva arguing based on Choshe Mishpot, Simreish Tes Sif Alef Beis Reish Mem Alef Sif Dalet, and according with Piske HaRambam, Kenyan is Chal Bedova She'eino Mesuyim, on the condition that it specifies what the person is selling, whether it's wheat or apples or pears or toys or plastic dishes. All that has to be specified and clarified is what the transaction deals with, not quantity nor quality. So in our case, the Shtar Mechira makes very clear what is being sold: various foodstuffs that contain chametz. So even if the quantity, space, address isn't specified, that would not invalidate the Kenyan. As I made clear at the outset of this year, we're not going to be getting into the details of the various Kenyanim. We have to learn at least a year in Kol just to achieve clarity in the intricacies of in the details of the Shtar Mechira. Our topic today was just the basics, the basic idea of Mechiras Chometz, its development and its validity from the point of view of Gemar Das. We are approaching Chag HaMatzos. So he said many times in the past, I explained that every Yom Tov has its Neshama Yaseira. Shavuos is the spirit of Kabbalah Satorah, Sukkos is Man Simchoseinu. I think that Pesach is the Yom Tov of Emunah and Bitochen. As the Ramban explains at the end of Parshas Boy, and we quoted this Ramban 1,000 times, Menanisim Hagedolim Vahamifursomim Odamoide Benisim Anastorim Shehem Yisod Kolatoyra Kulo Shein Lonu Chelik Betoyres Moishat Sheneida Shekodvoreinu Vimekreinu Hem Nisim ein behem teva v'minhagei shel olam. But there is a special importance regarding Chag HaMatzos. We eat not only matzah but also moror. And as the Mishnah says, matchil begnusu mesayim b'shvach. And the story of Pesach is not only the story of redemption and salvation. It is a story of strife and slavery and pain and suffering. And there are two different explanations why is this important. The Zohar says only a person that sat in darkness will really appreciate light. Only a man who experienced suffering will really appreciate salvation. And therefore the story has to be a story of moror and matzah. But there's a different point, an additional one. Rabbi Akiva, the great Tana, teaches us, called the Oved Rachmona Letav Oved. And after being freed from bondage, and after being free men and salvaged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Golos Mitzrayim, after coming into Eretz HaKadosh, it is important that we believe and feel that our suffering was not in vain, and in a way called the Oved Rachmona Letav Oved. When Rabbi Akiva and his great friends, the great Tanoim, Shuv Pah Machas Hoya Oilin Li Yerushalayim, the story is told in Malkus Daf Chav Dalad, Vera'u Shua Yotze Mebeis Kodesh HaKudoshim V'etchilu Hem Boichin V'Rabbi Akiva Metzachik. Rabbi Akiva is smiling, he is laughing, he is happy, even in the Cheshkas HaGolos, Rabbi Akiva sees Oilos HaGeule Mitnotzitzim Ve'olim. In the darkest of days, Rabbi Akiva sees Chasdei Shomayim called the Oved Rachmona Letav Oved. There's a fascinating tshuva in Chasam Sofer or Chaim Siman Kuf Lamed Beis. The Chasam Sofer deals with the various different types of moror, and he recommends not eating chazeres, that means chasa, because they did not have any chasa that was worm-free chasa. And it was extremely difficult in their times to clean chaser from parasites and from insects. And therefore the Chasam Sofer says one should eat tamcha. Tamcha is what we call horseradish, chrein. So the Chasam Sofer writes, I'm fully aware that Chazal give a remez, mitzvah b'chazeres, tchilosoy mar, soifoy mosoik, tchilosoy mosoik, soifoy mar. But the Chasam Sofer says, I'll give you a remez regarding tamcha. Tamcha is Rosh HaTevis, Tomid Nisaprim Kavoid Kale. And if a person eats apia, he should have the Kavona apia is Rosh HaTevis Kale, Poyel Yeshua's Oto. And at first glance, it seems to be amusing. Did you ever attend the Chassidish Chasana? Do you know what Mitzvah Tanz looks like? There's a batchen, a grammar, and he takes the names of the mechatonim, the names of the chosen and kala, and gives us Rosh HaTevis and Sofer Tevis, and the Chasam Sofer and this tshuva comes across, you know, similar. Tamchis tomid mesaprim koid keil, apias keil poil ishu esoto, but let us understand the Chasam Sofer was not a batchen, and the Seder night is not a mitzvah tanz. What the Chasam Sofer is suggesting is a truly profound idea. When we eat moror, what does that kavona have to be? Tomid nisaprim kvoid keil. Not only when we know days of glory, days of light, in the darkest of days, we have to believe and thank and love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the emphasis. Tomid nisaprim kvoid keil. Always. And when we eat moror, we have to believe ki keil poyel yeshua soto. Memaka atzma kodesh bochu metakin ritiya. And even the maka in itself, when we hurt, that in a way is a manifestation of God's mercy. Ki keil poyel yeshua soto, even be a mea choshech. And that is one of the basic feelings we have to develop. Sitting at our Seder and rejoicing in the memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a magnificent story I told many times, because I remember when I read this story, I was so moved that tears were streaming down my cheeks. In the Kovno ghetto, there was one chosid. His name was Moshe Goldkorn. He fled Warsaw when the Nazis came into Poland. eventually arriving in the Litta, and he was in the Kovno Ghetto. In the Kovno Ghetto there was a great girl, his name was Rav Ephraim Oshri. He passed away just a few years ago. A truly amazing Talmud Chochem. A great Talmud Chochem and a big tzaddik. And he was basically the central halachic authority in the Kovno Ghetto. Everybody asked him the shyness. And he wrote short shuvas on scraps of paper that he somehow managed to get, and he buried them in the posts of the barbed wire surrounding the ghetto, hoping and praying to Hashem that if he's going to be salvaged and he's going to survive, he's going to uncover those short shuvas and develop them into a sefer. And Bechaz Shemaim, he survived the Holocaust and eventually printed, I think, 6 or 7 volumes of an unbelievable and a most important halachic work, Shalas HaTshuvas Mimamakim. Chelek Hei Simen Vav, I don't remember, maybe it's Chelek Vav Simen Hei, I think it's Chelek Hei Simen Vav. We find the story of Moshe Goldkorn, which I read in different sources, but the Psak Halacha is found in Shalas HaTshuvas Mimamakim. When did I tell this story, Berabim? Exactly 10 years ago. 10 years ago there was a terrible terrorist attack in Netanya in the Park Hotel. More than 30 Jews were murdered in the middle of the Seder by a terrorist bomb. Now, we are a people, we are a country that has known so much pain, so much terror, and somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the koyach to prevail and to move on. It's an amazing siyata d'shmaya. So, nobody could explain why. Why is the chosen people suffering so much? Those are the Siddus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is only Yosef Lovi that we will be able to appreciate and understand. But what we have to believe, and we do believe and feel in the depth of our hearts, called the Yoved Rechman HaTavar. But that particular attack was awfully traumatizing, because it was the Seder night. The symbolism was so powerful. People coming together, but Leila Seder to rejoice in Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, being brutally slaughtered and murdered. So I had to speak the first day of Chol HaMoed, and there was a tremendous crowd there, and nobody asked the question, but I felt, you know, it's in the air. It was there. It was Zerichef B'Chalal HaAvir. So I told the people that get together, let me tell you a story. A story of a chosid in the Kovno Ghetto. Moshe Goldkorn, as fitting for a chosid, was terribly worried. Where will we have matzahs to eat B'Leil HaSeder? So a few months before Pesach, he collected grain, you know, just gargirei chita, b'derech lo derech, and came erev Pesach, he took 2 racks, and, you know, and ground that grain, and then he got some water, and he made a dough, and he put on the fire, started baking matzahs when a Nazi officer just passed, saw a Jew making a fire, so he asked him, "What is this?" He almost killed him. He bit him, broke his teeth, and you know, hit him terribly. So the B'Fraim Ashi, in the middle of a Seder, somebody is knocking at the door. The door is opened, and there is Moshe Goldkorn, broken, bleeding, blood streaming out of his mouth. Rabbi Yashri rushes to the door and hugs him and says, "Moshe, what happened to you?" So Moshe says, "I was in the middle of baking matzahs, and this Nazi almost killed me, and he broke my bones, and I feel awful." So the Rav, Rabbi Yoshi, says, "Moshe, sit down, what could I do for you?" And he says, I have a shaila, and the Rav must give me an answer. I could just imagine what was passing in Rabbi Ashley's mind. He probably thought to himself, "What is he going to ask me? Tzadik v'ralo, roshe v'toivloi, why do I deserve this? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to me? Sach HaKol, I want to keep the Makayim Mitzvah's Masa, and this is what happens, I have broken bones, he shattered my mouth." No, that was not the Shaila. What was the Shaila? Moshe Goldkorn asks Rabbi Yoshri, I'm a chosid, I never ate gebrochs, I never ate shruya. What am I supposed to do? He broke all my teeth, I can't chew anything. So I can't really chew matzah. So, should I eat gebrochs? Neged minag avoisai, or should I put aside mitzvahs matzah and sheval taisa odif? That was the shaila. And I told the people gathered at that first day of Chol HaMoed, sometimes shailas are far more important than tshuvas. And what sustained us in thousands of years of Mesiras Nefesh in Golas is the shailas and not the tshuvas. Not always are we wise enough to supply answers. Nobody could explain the suffering of Golos. Nobody could explain why 6 million Jews were slaughtered 70 years ago. Nobody could explain why 1 million Jewish killed children. Those are soides of Bereshis, soides, Bahadi Kafshed Rahman Alamalach. But sometimes the shailas are more important than the tshuvas. Moshe Goldkorn, on that fateful night, what was he disturbed with? What was on his mind? Not philosophical questions. Why? Tzadik v'ra'ale Rosh HaVetovle, what am I supposed to do? Ba'avur zeh. Ba'avur zeh, b'shosh yish matzah v'mora menochem lafonachem. Ba'avur zeh. Rashi says, Kedesha kayem mitzvotav. What am I supposed to do with matzah? Should I eat gebrochs or shall I not eat gebrochs? To be or not to be? That is what Reb Moshe Goldkorn was busy with on that Leil Seder. After the drosha, a person approached me and he asked, what was the psak? Did he eat gebrochs or not? And I was laughing and saying, I don't even know. I don't even know. That isn't as important to me than the shaila. Because sometimes shailas are far more important than tshuvas. We are avodim, we are slaves. And that is one of the basics of emunah and betochen and servitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the essence of Kabbalah's oil Malchus Shemayim. Let us all have a beautiful Yom Tov, with gebrochs or without. And I wish you all a kosher Freilich and Pesach. The coming week, I hope there will be an additional shiur, Be'ezrat Hashem, and some other relevant topic. Maybe we will be dealing with Eruv Tavshilin. Have a beautiful Yom Tov, a kosher Freilich and Pesach. We should be zoche to Geulas Yisrael and Binyan Beis HaMikdash, v'sham noichal min hazvochim v'min hapsochim b'mehero v'yomenu. Amen.